week, during this time of the year, we usually have a missions Sunday emphasis and have a couple of missionaries here. And this year it just seemed like the Lord led us to not necessarily have new missionaries here, but just to have missionaries back with us that's on furlough. And so we're not actually having a missions Sunday here during this time of the year. Just in 3 months, Brother Pat Russell and his family will be back, and they'll be here with us. Of course, they're in Senegal, and Brother Pat used to be in my classes in Bible college. And Jody, his wife, used to be in my wife's ninth grade Sunday school class. Now, they've been in Africa for over 25 years, and their youngest daughter will be graduating from high school, so they'll come back and leave her here in college. The other boys are all here in school or in the States here. And so it'll be good to have them back. Then in November, we have Brother Jerry Wyatt coming. Brother Wyatt's in Tanzania, Africa, and the Lord has really blessed them over there. They have those crusades over there every year, and there were over 10,000 that attended this year. They ran a whole coliseum, and we watched a video about that on, maybe it was on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, I think a Wednesday night. We watched a video that Brother Wyatt had produced. He is putting together the radio station there in Tanzania that will reach no telling how many people. And he was here in 2008, so I've never even met him. A couple of you have met him, but most of us don't know him, but we read his letters. And he and his family will be with us all day in November, so we're excited about that. Then next year, Brother Frank Denisi is supposed to be coming. I'm looking forward to meeting him. He's a single young man in the Philippines. His mom and dad have been there for years. And so we're looking forward to meeting him. But we always talk about, around this time of the year, tithing. I preach on that, explain it, what it is. There's a lot of confusion about tithing. But when we see it's scriptural, when we see that it's what the Lord commanded for us as believers to do, when we see, and we looked at this, but I've heard people say, well, that was part of the law, and this, we don't have to obey that anymore. Abraham tithed. And he lived hundreds of years before the law was ever given. And then, of course, Jesus Christ taught that we should tithe in the New Testament also. So when you see that tithing is, it means 10%. That's what it means. And remember that verse we looked at Jacob last week where he said, of all that thou givest me, I'll give the tenth unto thee. So Jacob learned that from his dad Isaac and from his grandpa Abraham. So we see that tithing started a long time ago. And we see in the book of Malachi that the whole nation had gotten away from the Lord, and God said, you're robbing me. And they said, wherein are we robbing you? And he said, in tithes and in offerings. And I explained that last week. So now we want to look at faith promise. We know that a tithe is 10%. Okay? It's not 7%, it's 10%. People, you know, sometimes people, they give a little bit of money, and, you know, a little bit's a whole lot better than none, but a tithe is 10%. So if you're not giving 10% of all your increase, you're not tithing. Okay, and if you're not tithing, you're not pleasing the Lord, and you're not being obedient to the Lord, and you're missing out on the blessings of God. Okay, so that's tithe. Now, faith promise, what is that? Does the Bible say, wherein have we robbed thee? In faith promise missions giving. No, it doesn't say that. And it doesn't use those words. But the plan, the biblical plan that we use to give to missions, we call it the faith promise missions giving plan. Okay? And it is scriptural. And it comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. So let's look over there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and 9. Now, if you'll look over there, there's 22 letters up there on the board. We send all 22 of those missionaries $100 a month, every month. We have never missed, since I've been here, and I don't know, some of the rest of you could tell about what happened before that, but I know that in the last 5.5 years, by the grace of God, we have never missed a month of giving our missionaries their mission support. Not one month. And that's because of, by the grace of God, people in this church have given to Faith Promise Missions giving. Now, I worked in a big church. My wife and I did. We both graduated from Bible college there. Then I worked there 15 years. And we ran about 1,500 to 2,000. And I remember the day we had 5,000 there. Had over 500 people saved that day. That was a big day. But I worked there as associate pastor. And we supported over 450 missionaries. And for many years, now the pastor was an ex-Green Beret guy. And so he had fought in the wars, and he was a tough guy. But the Lord really used him in this area of missions. And when he first took over the church, it was a Southern Baptist church. It was like an independent Southern Baptist church. Y'all know what that means? It was in the Southern Baptist Convention, but they didn't really participate in the Southern Baptist things. And so they were kind of blackballed from the Southern Baptist Convention. They didn't give, they didn't give their required amount to the convention and different. They supported some missionaries, whoever they wanted. So anyway, when the pastor that I worked for, when he came and he said, "I'll come as the pastor of the church as long as we vote to come out of the Southern Baptist Convention and become an independent Baptist church." And so the church did that. And he didn't know anything about Faith Promise giving. He'd never heard about that. And so the church just gave like 10% of their income to missions, which that was still a good amount. But then he was introduced to this biblical teaching of Faith Promise Missions giving. And so he realized that scriptural. He implemented that in the church. And then the missions giving just went way, way, way up past 10%. Last year at China Lake Baptist Church, this church right here, about 27%, 26 or 27, something like that. I can't remember. But anyway, over 25% of everything that we spent, all the money that we spent last year, over 25% we spent on missions and missionaries. So over a quarter of our budget went to missions. We were able to give several thousand dollars in special offerings last year to missionaries. And I like it as a pastor that we're able to do that. We help missionaries, you know, all over. I'm thinking of Sarah Bodley there in Moldova. You remember when she had raised money to buy clothes at Christmas time for the children there, and somebody with a mental illness case somehow got a hold of all that stuff and ruined it all. And so she didn't have anything to give them. It's cold over there. It's right next to Russia over there and Romania in that area. And she didn't tell anybody about that need, about how much it was, except the team leader there that she's working with, the pastor of the church there, the missions church. But she needed $500 is what she needed. And she just put in the letter that, you know, "I'm praying for clothes," and she didn't say how much or anything. And I think it was Brother Bill here that was reading that letter, and one Wednesday night said, "Pastor, I think we ought to help Sarah." And so I said, "Well, how about we give her $500? And the church, we voted that night to send her $500. She wrote back and said, "That is the exact amount that I was praying for." And so we were able to help many of those missionaries last year. And so I like it when, you know, we're able to do that. Not only support our missionaries, but have some money to be able to help them with different projects. We have built, we've helped send Bibles to different countries. We've helped build houses, pastors' houses in the Philippines and churches after they've had typhoons. And this church right here has done all kinds of things. And it's because people in this church give to missions. Now, I don't look at the mission. Here is the, when they take the offering, they put it here, and the men will come get it, they count it. They will put it in the bank, deposit it. I don't look at the envelopes. I look at the amount, obviously, as the pastor. You look at the amount that comes in. And by the way, we don't have anything to hide at all here at China Lake Baptist Church. Right there, we put in how much comes in for missions, how much comes in for our general offering. And we just had our annual business meeting, and you got a copy, if you wanted one, of where all the money went, where it was spent. And I said this last, as we were doing that, but our proposed budget last year and what actually came in last year, there was only a difference of about $560-something. Isn't that a blessing? I mean, that's amazing that God did that for us. And He's done that year after year after year. And so we have people in this church that understand the concept of not only tithing, but giving. But there might be some in the church that haven't started tithing yet. And if you haven't, my prayer would be that you understand we're not asking for that money so the church can have more money. God commands us to give so that His work can go forth, can continue. And if you're not giving to Faith Promise Missions, I pray that you'll understand what this is all about and you'll start. Now, my wife and I, we've heard of this plan, we've seen it, we started giving. We have given something to missions every single week since we've heard about this. And that's been for years and years and years now. Now, there's been times when our income wasn't quite what it was at other times. And so maybe the Faith Promise tithe, we've always tithe, that's 10%. But maybe the Faith Promise, it's been higher sometime, and maybe it hadn't been quite as much at sometimes during those years, but every single week. Now, we get paid here from the church 2 times a month. So what our offering is right there in there. So when we put our tithe on there, of course, we write that on the tithe line. Then our missions, when we put the missions in there after we get paid from the church, we multiply that by 2 weeks. And so we have a weekly amount that the Lord has impressed upon our heart, or a monthly amount. And then we've divided that into the amount of weeks. And so every time we give 2 times a month, and that would include amount for every week. And so whether you give it every month, whether you give it every week, every 2 weeks, however it is that you give it, I hope that you will ask the Lord what He wants you to do in the area of missions, and then step out by faith and do it. Faith Promise. This is a promise that we make to the Lord that by faith we're going to give a certain amount. Now, it's by faith because sometimes, we don't know where that money is actually going to come from. We feel like the Lord wants us to do that. And maybe you have a budget. That's a good thing to have. And maybe that amount's not necessarily in your budget. By the way, it's by faith. So here's how it works. Okay, we have our budget. We have a budget. And I keep up with that. And I'm sure you do too. But in this area of missions, you don't look at your budget and you don't say, well, we have this much left, so here's what we can give. According to the Scripture, it's by faith. In other words, for example, maybe you only have a certain amount left, but the Lord puts upon your heart to give a certain amount, and that amount's just not going to work out with your budget. Here's what we have to understand. And you make sure that it's what the Lord wants you to do, okay? Because sometimes we can give emotionally, and we might get ourselves in trouble if we just give by emotions, because, man, we want to give to everything. I mean, we want to give to every missionary. We want to give to every missionary project. We want to give every dime we have so that the work of the Lord can go on. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that God will put upon your heart what He wants you to give, and it won't be based on emotions. It's going to be based on what God wants. And so if God tells you to give, let's just say this, okay, if you're just now starting off, $10 a week, maybe the children, you know, I don't know. I do know that their mom and dad teach them to give. I know that because they've told me that. I don't know how much it would be. Of course, with kids, it would be less. And with adults, I don't know, maybe you start off with $5 a week, you start off with $10 a week, you start off with $20 a week. I don't know. I know people that give hundreds of dollars a week. And they didn't necessarily start off like that, but they started off with something, And then over the years, they've added to that. And then they've added a little bit more to that each year and each year. I've had people right here in this church say to me, Pastor, I don't understand. Every year, it seems like the Lord wants me to give a little bit more. And I do that, and He supplies it. And I have more in the bank at the end of the month than I did before. And I see some shaking their heads, and you understand that, right? That's God that does that. He said, I will open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Look, I learned a long time ago that you cannot outgive God. And I learned a long time ago God will be a debtor to no man. You do what God wants you to do, and God's going to bless you. Now, the Scripture says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I can't go everywhere in the world. I've been a lot of places in the world, like many of you have. But we can only be one place at one time, right? But through our giving, we can have a part in what God's doing in many places at the same time. Brother John Bales, of course, he's about 80 years old now. He's been involved in church planting for probably 55 or 60 years. He's been involved in planting over 300 churches. And he and his wife are still traveling. And there's Sarah Bodley. Then there's the Booths in the Ukraine. And I'm not going to go through all of them because some places, you know, we just don't want to advertise it on the internet where everybody's at. But all of those different missionaries, wherever it is that God's called them, they're there. And they depend on that support every month. They can't go and get another job. Okay, my wife and I and our family, our boys were little. We went to Costa Rica, to San Jose, Costa Rica, for a year of language school. We stayed there a year. Went to language school for a year. Learned how to speak Spanish. Then we went on to Mexico as missionaries to Mexico. Well, to get into Costa Rica, we had to have a letter. Of course, you have to have visas and all that kind of stuff. But in order to live there, not just to visit there, but to live there, you had to have a different kind of a visa. You had to go down and have the government stamp it, you know, like for a year. We had to have a letter from our mission, which was BIMI, which about half the missionaries we support are with BIMI. And BIMI wrote that letter guaranteeing that we were not coming in there to work, because that would take jobs away from the Costa Rican people. And they guaranteed that we would not be a burden to the country. Okay? And that's one, you know, a lot of people don't like mission agencies, but, hey, you know, because they don't really understand how mission agencies work. And I guess maybe some of them don't work like they should, but BIMI is not a sending agency. Missionaries are sent by the local church. They're just an agency to help churches. And to help missionaries stay on the field. And, you know, like with that, a letter, and they have a good reputation. When Pat Russell and his family were in the Ivory Coast, the only way a lot of those missionaries lived was because they had the BIMI sign in French on their cars. Because they got, you know, there was that point where the French were, they attacked the Ivorian people and killed a lot of them, and the Ivorian people started killing white people because they thought everybody that was white was from France. They put BIMI on their cars and put an American flag, and that's what saved their life. So BIMI is very well respected around the world. So we were able to get in Costa Rica with no problem because they guaranteed that we weren't going to be coming down there and taking away from nationals getting a job. They guaranteed we had enough support to live there. Okay. Now, the support that the missionaries have comes from the churches. When we were on the mission field 13 years, we had some churches that every single month their mission support was there, every month. We had some churches that it might be there for a couple of months and then not be there for 3 months, might be there for two more months and not be there for 6 months. And so not one month was ever the same. I mean, it was different amounts. That's why the missionaries have to work and try to raise a little bit more in case some months are short. We've been short as much as $1,000 before. Now, that's a lot of money, if you're on the mission field, and we've had God make that up. But the churches that promise to support these missionaries, that's what they live by. Remember the one missionary that we read his letter? And he had had three or four churches that had dropped him completely. And he had had 12 more last year that had significantly decreased their income. And the Lord allowed us, they had been $1,000 short for the last 2 months. Remember that? And the Lord allowed us to send them $2,000 to make up for that last 2 months. And I called him the night that, I'm not going to mention where he's at, but I called him the night that we did that, and all he could say was this, "Pastor, I don't know what to say, except thank you." And that was a blessing that we were able to do that. And we were able to help that family there to stay there. So missions giving is what allows these missionaries to stay on the mission field. So, boy, don't ever quit giving. Just keep on giving. So, but let's look at this here, okay? And we might have to take next week, too. I don't know. But we'll take whatever time we need to just make sure that you understand where this comes from, okay? It's not something that Baptist made up. It's something that the Lord put in the Scriptures. And we see starting in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Now, remember, this is Paul's letter, one of his letters to the church at Corinth, okay? Corinth was in modern-day Greece, okay? So here we go, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Now remember, look up here real quick. In New Testament times, the country of Greece was divided into two different parts. The northern part of Greece was called Macedonia, and the southern part of Greece was called Achaia. Now, there is a country named Macedonia, and it's above Greece today. But Macedonia back in those days included the northern part of Greece. So that would be the church at Philippi, the church at Thessalonica, some of those churches, okay? So that's who he's writing about, all right? Now, Corinth was in southern Greece, so it was in Achaia, okay? He's talking about churches in Macedonia here. Okay, look at verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Now, let me stop right there. This gift was a monetary offering that they took for the poor saints in Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem's a long ways away from Greece, okay? But they had heard that there were brethren over there, brothers and sisters in Christ, that had a need back in Jerusalem. And so these churches, obviously the Bible says here, that they were not rich churches, talks about their deep poverty, but they gave abundantly to help those brethren in another part of the world. And they begged Paul to take this money back to Jerusalem to those poor saints back there. That's what this is talking about. Okay? Look at verse 5. "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also." That's talking about the gift there. "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also." This has also been called grace giving. Faith promise giving or grace giving. Verse 8, "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient unto you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to the man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that thou at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no thanks. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace. Again, that's the offering, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Now, let's go down to verse number 1 of chapter 9. So we can see here, Paul is talking about giving by grace. These folks, they were in poverty, but they gave liberally. And now they wanted Paul, and Paul enlisted Titus, and there were some other brethren involved in this, and they were going to travel from Corinth, which was in southern Greece, all the way back to Jerusalem and deliver this offering. Okay, now, chapter 9. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the frowardness of your mind, for I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Now go over for time's sake to verse number 5. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, might abound to every good work. Now, okay, these people in Macedonia, that's the northern part of modern Greece, they heard about the need that the saints in Jerusalem had. And so they gave liberally. The different churches gave. They gave it to their missionary, Paul, so their missionary could take it to the poor saints where he was going to be traveling to and deliver it for them. Now, lots of different things are taught in here, and we're going to look at some of those. But this is not tithes. This was all grace giving. Obviously, these folks tithed, but by the grace of God, they were able to give even above their tithes and give a special offering so that the missionary could take it to the people that he was ministering to. And that's exactly what we do in Faith Promise Giving. We give our tithes, and above that, we give whatever it is the Lord's laid upon our heart to give to missions. And everything we give to missions at China Lake Baptist Church goes back to missions. Whether it's a love offering for a missionary, whether it's when, and by the way, you could talk to any missionary that's come through here, and our church has been very generous to them. We put them up in a nice motel. We take them out and we feed them well. And we give them an offering when they come. And we've had several missionaries that's been here that folks in the church, besides what the church gave them, folks in the church gave them. I know one missionary that came here. The church gave him his offering. And the people in the church on a Sunday gave that missionary and his family an additional $500 above everything else the church had done. And he was astounded. But that's because of the goodness of God's people. Now, if you're not involved in that, I would encourage you to get involved in that, because not only are you going to be able, not only are you going to be fulfilling the Great Commission, which is going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, not only are you going to be obeying the Lord, but you're going to be ministering to people around the world, people you don't even know. We read a missionary letter every Wednesday night. And every Wednesday night during those letters, we hear about people being saved, don't we? And every person in this church that gives to Faith Promise Missions, when somebody on that mission field gets saved, you have a part in them being saved. You got a part in that. I mean, we've heard about people that have been saved and then have passed away. And they're in heaven now, and they got saved because of the giving of people right here in this church and other churches around the country also. When we raised our support, and we were in about 100 churches, I think, maybe 150 churches, something like that. But we had churches in California that supported us. We had churches in Texas that supported us. We had churches in Washington, D.C. that supported us. We had churches in one side of Canada and the other side of Canada. We had churches all over America that supported us. And so now, according to the missionaries, they're having to go to an average of 300 churches before they can raise their support. I heard not long ago, I told you about this, but one pastor, Brother Kelly, you and I were talking about this, but the millennial generation, a lot of those pastors are being trained and they're not getting it. I appreciate Brother Chapel, West Coast Baptist College. Brother Chapel has a real desire to train those preachers that come there to do the right thing. And not only are they training them, but they go to a church to where they're involved in the ministry. You can ask Jenny. They go knocking on doors and they're involved in the missions ministry, and so they understand what they're supposed to be doing. But this pastor, he wasn't from there, wasn't a graduate from there, but this pastor was that millennial age, brother, and he dropped some missionaries. So one of the missionaries, somebody that had been on the field for decades, called and just asked, you know, that church had supported them for years, and now they dropped them. And that millennial pastor said that this missionary was too old to be on the mission field. They weren't going to support old people anymore. And the missionary tried to explain to him, well, you know, we've been on the mission field, and you sure don't get rich as a missionary. And, you know, we don't have a whole lot of money for retirement. Every bit of money we've come in, we put back in the ministry. And that millennial pastor said, well, that's too bad. That's your problem, not mine. And that's the attitude of a lot of the new pastors. Well, that's a sorry attitude, that's for sure. That guy's going to give an account of that when he stands before the Lord. That's for sure. But that guy's missing out on the blessings of being able to continue to support that missionary. When we were on the field, we had churches that closed. They just quit, closed their doors, sold all their assets off, divided them amongst the missionaries, so that's good. You get a one-time offering. That's wonderful. But you lose that support every month. We've had churches where, you know, they just, new pastor comes in, drops all the missionaries, then takes on all the missionaries he wants to take on. Well, man, I mean, pastors just do, I mean, it's just amazing what all goes on that the missionaries put up with. Well, thank God for churches like ours that the missionaries can count on. But it's because of the giving of people in our church. So, let me just give you some things about this, okay? And again, we'll have to finish this up next week. But the Faith Promise Plan is a voluntary plan of giving. And that's what we call it, because by faith, these people gave. Now, obviously, they made a commitment here, okay? They made a commitment, and they made a commitment to give a certain amount. And so Paul now is writing them, reminding them, we're going to be coming and collecting that offering that you promised. And so make sure that you do what you said you were going to do. We call this faith promise. My wife and I, and many of you, we have committed to a certain amount that we think the Lord wants us to give. And by faith, we need to make sure we're doing that. We need to make sure that we are keeping our promise. Listen, God would never put an amount on your heart to give that you could not give. God knows your finances better than you do. He knows what your finances are going to be like during this whole year. He knows exactly how much you can give. And when we by faith promise to give, we are depending on the Lord to make sure and give that to us so that we can give it back to Him. And I know this, God's done it for us for years and years and years. Now I know there might be times when God speaks to you about giving something, and then you'd step out by faith and do that, and then you lose your job, or your rent goes up, or something. And people say, I think I made a mistake. If you did what God told you to do, you didn't make a mistake. Because God doesn't make mistakes. So you just keep doing what God told you to do, and you wait and see. That means God's going to really do something special. And I'm telling you, I mean, it's just amazing how God will take care of you. You might not get a check in the mail every single week. Okay, sometimes you might. But God might let your tires last longer. He might let your car run longer. He might let your clothes last longer. He might let you find better deals on groceries. I mean, you might get something back on your income taxes you never even expected. God can do things that you can't even imagine He can do because He's God. And at the same time, we are having a part. Look, we're having a, and my wife and I give to missions. And so whatever God's doing in the ministry of every single one of those missionaries, we have a small part in that. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we go to heaven and we meet all these people that have been saved from all those different mission fields? I really think, I mean, this is kind of how I envision it anyway, that we're going to meet people and they're going to come to us and say, hello, my name is Jose. I'm from Argentina, and I got saved as the result of Joe Merlo, and I know that your church gave to him, and so I just wanted to say thank you for giving. I don't know exactly how it's going to happen like that, but I can kind of envision that, we're going to meet people from all over the world that we've never met that were saved because we gave to that missionary so he could go there and preach the gospel, and that man got saved, and that lady got saved, and those kids got saved. Man, praise the Lord. And we've seen firsthand how it all works because we've been missionaries. We've been missionaries. We've raised our support. We went to language school. We went on furlough. We planted churches. We've seen men in the church get saved that are still in the ministry today. And we've seen their children. We've seen alcoholics get saved that are in the ministry today. We've seen all that. And it was because of the giving of our churches that we were able to do all of that. So, it's a voluntary plan. It is a plan whereby Christians are enabled to carry out the command of the Lord, which we call the Great Commission. How can we be in every place at the same time? Well, we can be in a lot of places at the same time by giving to faith promise. Giving to the missions. It helps to establish a definite missionary budget. We have a certain budget that we want to meet, and God, by the way, God allowed us to go above that amount last year, and God allowed us to give more in special offerings than we ever have, plus maintaining our regular monthly giving. That's a blessing, isn't it? Thank the Lord. And we read those letters, when those thank you letters from the missionaries. This is a plan that invites every member of the church, both young and old, to participate. And by the way, it seems to me like you kind of start off at a certain amount, and then as you mature in the Lord, and the longer the Lord blesses you, lots of times you're able to give more and more and more to the Lord. And it just seems like that's the way it works. And we believe it's a biblical plan, of course. Okay, let me kind of explain how the money situation works, because that's always been a question. How does it actually work? Okay, like, for example, Brother Bales. Okay, they have a certain amount of churches that give. And for us, we send our support to him and the other missionaries with BIMI. It just automatically goes there out of our budget once a month. And then we get a list every single month from all these different places, a receipt that we gave so much to that missionary. And I know with BIMI, the missionaries every month get a detailed statement that gives the name of every church and how much that church gave that month. And then BIMI sends those churches back the receipt, and they send an envelope, or whether it's done electronically, however it's done. That way there's accountability, okay? And so the church knows, okay, good, praise the Lord. Well, the Bales got the $100 that we sent him. And so that helps, because you know where your money's going. And then they have a certain amount, of course, that they'll, you know, spend on different things. They have a budget, and BIMI has a certain, after all these years, they kind of know how much it takes to live in different countries and how much they need to save for education for their kids and how much they need to, you know, put towards this and put towards that. So they have a budget just like everybody else does, and that's how it works. So this is a very advantageous program, okay, and we've read about this. It's a biblical program. Most people credit the Canadian preacher A.B. Simpson and also the Canadian preacher Oswald J. Smith in Toronto for developing this plan. It goes way back to the 1800s. And both of those men raised a tremendous amount of money through faith promise giving for missionaries. And I know pastors that have given testimony. They didn't really, you know, when they first heard about this, they were scared kind of to go from a designated percentage to this plan because they thought, man, that might take away from the tithes and therefore we might be in trouble in this other area. But every pastor that I've heard give testimony has said that it never hurt the tithes one bit. And as a matter of fact, the overall giving for the whole church has gone up. And so, why? Because it's a biblical plan. And God blesses churches and individuals that are obeying Him and that have a heart to reach people with the gospel. God knows how much you're giving. By the way, you want to know why you ought to work hard and work as much as you can? I'm not saying being a workaholic, but I'm just saying don't be lazy. Get a job and work so that you can have something to give to the Lord. That's a good reason. Say, I don't like working. Well, I don't know too many people that just like going to work every single day. But that's life, right? I think that's what the Bible teaches, by the way. Amen. And I know this, when you work hard and you have something to give back to the Lord, it sure makes you feel a lot better. And God's going to bless you for it. So we will, I'm going to give you 8 principles next week that we find here in these passages about faith promise. But it's a biblical plan. And if you're not giving, I want to encourage you to start giving. Okay, you don't have to start off with $100 a week. But you can start off, if the Lord wants you to, then do it. But I'm not saying you have to commit to some big number. And by the way, it's a commitment between you and the Lord. We're not going to ever come and say, hey, looks like to me on your tithing envelope there, I hadn't seen anything marked for missions lately. Now, Brother Wilcox, our treasurer, he's not ever going to give you a call and say that. The Lord might give you a call. He might ring your bell and say, what about that promise you made? What about the missions? Now, he might, but we're not ever going to. This is a commitment you make between you and the Lord. It's a promise you make between you and the Lord. But if you're not giving, if you're not tithing, that's where you start. And then I would encourage you to give something to missions. Look, you're missing out on the blessings of God if you don't do that. I can tell you, you'll see God just do things for you that'll just be amazing. And at the same time, you'll be helping to reach people around the world with the gospel. So let's stand.